Wrestling Radio. VGLosers.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio here on VGLosers.com, the video game losers, our wrestling show on our video game website. That's all going to change. And if you have not heard the announcement, you want to listen to shows from last week because you're going to get the information about some of the stuff going on around here. But for right now, we'll just jump right into the news because no one wants to hear me ramble on and on about website changes and whatnot. Of course, the big news this week is that Hulk Hogan has signed with TNA, Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. And, yeah. All right, so basically, here's what's going on. Hogan was going to do this Hulkamania tour, kicking off with Australia and traveling around the world doing different markets, basically where WWE doesn't do a lot of frequent touring. They weren't going to come to the U.S. They weren't going to start doing shows and, you know, the Cow Palace or anything like that. They were kicking off in Australia. They were probably going to go to places like Singapore, Philippines, Italy, Spain, Greece. You know, some of these places that don't have strong local wrestling markets, but still wrestling does very well there. And he had signed on guys like Diamond Dallas Page and Brutus Beefcake and Jeff Hardy at one point was signed, and then he wasn't signed, and then he was signed, and I'm not sure if he's still on board or not. But of course, one of the other big names was Ric Flair. Ric Flair had signed on to wrestle Hulk Hogan. Part of the deal was that Eric Bischoff and Jason Hervey, the annoying brother from the Wonder Years, they were working to develop a reality show that was going to follow Hogan and Flair, focusing, of course, more on Hogan. And it would follow them getting ready to do the tour, getting back in the ring, working out, what it's like to run the company, what it's like to book arenas and do you know, all these celebrity outings and get on the plane and travel and get there and set everything up and do the show and, you know, work the crowds and everything like that. That was going to be the reality show. Whether or not that show happens is up in the air. Because basically MGM was one of the big sponsors of the tour. They have pulled out. The Australian leg of the tour is still scheduled. Everything's booked. A lot of stuff is already paid for, so that is going to happen. But whether or not anything happens with the Hulkamania tour after that is in the air. So, signing with TNA actually makes a whole lot of sense right now, considering the fact that this whole thing has seemingly fallen apart around him. And so he signs a deal with TNA, and there's been a lot of rumor, a lot of speculation, what's going on, how exactly this is going to work. Bubba the Love Sponge went on his radio show and said he's seen Hogan's contract for TNA, and it says that Hogan has complete creative control over the entire show. And TNA officials are, you know, using back channels and saying, no, that's not correct. Hogan doesn't control the whole show and whatever. Bischoff and Hervey have also signed with the company because their job is going to be to develop, quote-unquote, new programming for TNA. So the question is whether or not this reality show is still going to happen. Does it now become a TNA venture? There was a statement made to Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer saying that there's another announcement to be made. There's something else coming, and it's going to be much bigger. So, of course, you know, guys like DDP have gone on record in saying that they believe that this means either Impact is going to go head-to-head with Raw or a new show is coming that will go head-to-head with Raw. Whether or not that turns out to be true, we don't know. Some people think the big announcement is Ric Flair. However, some people think that that's not quite the announcement. Ric Flair coming to TNA would most likely be seen by the type of people who get excited about Hogan coming to TNA as not as big a deal as Hogan. The deal coming down the road is a quote-unquote bigger deal. And so Ric Flair, while someone like me would be dancing in the streets, Ric Flair's coming back, he's going to wrestle, even if it's on TNA, I will watch TNA to watch Ric Flair. Regardless, though, With all the stuff going on with the contracts, who's in control, who's not in control, what's going on, here's my best guess. And this is what I am going to assume is happening. And that is this. Hogan more than likely has signed a contract to come to TNA, and all the guys contracted to his Hulkamania tour are going to be booked through him to appear on TNA programming. So basically, what you're going to have is Hulk Hogan booking guys, working matches, working with Flair and Beefcake and whoever, and they will be considered part of Hulk's company within the company. He will have complete creative and booking control over them, and the rest of TNA will work somewhat independently. Now, if a second show comes out, I would guess that the second show, if they develop a show to go head-to-head with Raw, I would guess that Hogan would get half control of the show, TNA would get half control of the show, half of it you're going to see Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Motor City Machine Guns, Kurt Angle. The other half is going to be Hogan, Beefcake, Flair, and whoever signed along with him, and you're going to get different segments on the same show. It'll be presented as a single two-hour show, but you're going to have, segment one is Hogan, segment two is TNA, segment three is Hogan, segment four is TNA, segment five is TNA, and then segment six, your segment on top, is going to be Hogan. I would assume it would be something along those lines. I don't know that to be certain. That's just speculation on my part, but that's kind of how I would see it happening. With people in TNA saying Hogan doesn't control everything, and with a clause in Hogan's contract that makes Bubba the Love Sponge think that he is in charge, that would lead me to believe that they're going to run two separate groups, basically, within. Or they could very well have a second show developed, and that second show would be entirely run by Hogan. It would be a TNA-branded show, but Hogan and his guys would only appear on that show, and they would bring in whatever TNA guys they wanted. So you would see, Motor City Machine Guns in a match versus Bruce Beefcake and Brian Knobbs. You know, they could book something like that on Hogan's show, which would not be on Impact. That's a possibility, too. But I do not see Hogan being brought in to book all of TNA or to book all of Impact. That just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me. All right. I think that's really all there is about that. I think that pretty much covers all the news going on. So let's get on to Monday Night SmackDown. Tonight's SmackDown, of course, is day before Halloween, so this is their Halloween special episode, so you get some Halloween graphics. Vicky Guerrero comes out in costume, but that's about it. You don't have, you do have a Divas costume contest, but, there's no big candy food fight. There's no, big Halloween scares. I would have thought, for being a Halloween show, some of the stuff they've done years past on the different WWE programming having to do with Halloween, that we would have seen Undertaker versus Kane in a, Halloween beatdown chamber of whatever, I don't know. I just assumed there would be something with those guys, but there wasn't really anything Halloween themed out of them, which I thought was kind of unusual, especially since it seems like there will be something with Kane and Undertaker down the road, although not immediately, but we'll get to that. Opening promo, Teddy Long came out and comes down to the ring and basically congratulates SmackDown on being the superior brand by winning at Bragging Rights. He basically said that this proves SmackDown is the A show, because they've always had talks about SmackDown being the B show, Raw is the A show, everybody watches Raw, nobody watches SmackDown, etc., etc. So he can now boast that they are the A show because they won at Bragging Rights. He said he was very proud of everybody. He said he now wanted to address Big Show facing Undertaker at Survivor Series for the title. which of course was revealed on Raw. So out comes Chris Jericho, who is, of course, visibly upset that Big Show has been booked in the title match. He basically says that he's the one who deserves the title shot. He's carrying the bragging rights trophy, and Teddy Long interrupts him, takes the trophy, says this belongs to SmackDown, and takes it away, which is too bad, because I kind of like the idea of Jericho walking to the ring, holding both tag team championship belts and carrying that big cup, you know, for the next 6 months. But alas, it was not meant to be, although maybe he can steal it back at some point in the future. Anyway. He said that he was the captain of the team and his team won, therefore he should be considered the face of SmackDown, the biggest star on SmackDown, and therefore it should be him in the title match, not Big Show, to face The Undertaker. And of course this brings out Kane. Kane says that he was co-captain, he has just as much a right to be the number one contender. He grabs Jericho by the throat and Teddy Long stops him. And Teddy Long just basically says, you know what, Raw is having a triple threat for their title, so SmackDown is going to have a triple threat for our title. It's going to be Jericho versus Kane in the main event tonight. The winner of that match will join Big Show and Undertaker at Survivor Series for the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, as much as I'm not a fan of Kane's wrestling, this, to me, would make sense as a match you would put Kane in. It's Undertaker, it's Big Show, you add Kane. They're all the same height, they're all the same size, more or less. I mean, Big Show's fat, but, you know, they're all tall guys, big guys, beefy guys. And you also have a Kane and Undertaker link. So it kind of makes sense to me you would put Kane in that match, even though I really wouldn't want to see it. But from a storyline perspective, it would seem to make sense. The only question is, what do you then do with Jericho? You can't really have Jericho doing a Survivor Series type match because he just did a show that had a match with him and six other guys on a team versus seven other guys. So that would have left him up in the air. So it's really just kind of a tough call on what you're going to do with a guy like that. So anyway, first match of the night, John Morrison comes out to the ring. Dolph Ziggler comes out with a microphone. It's a non-title match. Ziggler basically says, you know what? You really can't talk about how well you did at bragging rights because you're the only one on SmackDown who lost. Everyone else got it done, so you have nothing to brag about. Morrison basically says, well, you know what? You've tried to win the Intercontinental title many times, and you just keep failing, so you've got nothing to brag about either. So Ziggler jumps in the ring. They have a little match. They kind of botched some stuff here and there. I don't want to say necessarily say they botched it, I guess. They didn't really botch anything, but it wasn't as smooth as it could have been. Looked a little weak, but basically when they get to the end, Morrison is about to hit Starship Pain. Ziggler rolls to the outside, so Morrison is going to fly out of the ring onto him, so Ziggler jumps out of the way, so Morrison instead lands on the apron. Ziggler pulls out his legs, knocking him on the apron, grabs him, drops him on the announce table, and jumps back in the ring while Morrison gets counted out. So, non-title match, but Ziggler wins it. He wins it by a count out. So if it was a title match, he wouldn't have won the title anyway. But, you know, fine little TV match. Nothing spectacular, just your average little TV match there. This showed backstage. There was Teddy Long, CM Punk, and Vince McMahon. Basically, CM Punk was complaining to Teddy Long about what he was doing with their matches. And Vince said, you know, Punk, I'm going to give you a match you want. I'm going to make it you versus Scott Armstrong, the referee. It's going to be a one-on-one match tonight. And CM Punk seemed kind of happy with that. And he chided Teddy Long for not thinking of doing that. And Teddy Long was forced to stand there and say, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. I wish I had thought of it. And of course, you know, everybody in the crowd is like, oh god, who wants to see a referee match? But there you go, that's what's going to be happening tonight. They had Beth Phoenix do a squash match with basically a lady jobber. It was Jenny Brooks, and commentary said something about Jenny Brooks somehow had had beaten Beth Phoenix in her amateur wrestling career, or had stood in her way of getting to the women's amateur wrestling title or whatever. So basically, this match was an opportunity for Beth Phoenix to get revenge on this woman from several years ago. And it seemed kind of silly to me. Like, I didn't understand why they were doing this squash match with some random jobber lady, because this lady is not getting hired by WWE. She's just skinny. She looks weak. They said something about how she's got kickboxing training, so I don't know if maybe she's training to be a cage fighter, whatever. But she definitely does not fit into the WWE women's mold, so this woman is never coming back. She didn't even get an entrance. I believe she was just in the ring when the segment started. So, you know, it was just basically your classic match of Beth Phoenix manhandling this woman, smiling a lot as she was able to dish out punishment on her. And it was a perfectly fine squash match. You know, if anything, you could say that this Jenny Brooks did a good job of being a bump monkey. I can't say monkey today. That's awesome. A bump monkey. Did a good job of getting beat up and did her thing. So, you know, totally fine with the match. It wasn't even 3 minutes, but the whole segment. I kind of wondered why they were doing a squash match, why they were bringing in this jobber. Till then, you know, they announced that Crime Time would be doing a Divas Halloween costume contest later on, and I realized Beth Phoenix, you know, just probably didn't want to be in the segment. She just asked, you know, can I do anything else? Can I beat up a jobber? And they were like, yeah, sure, because Beth Phoenix wouldn't, you know, why would Beth Phoenix dress up and do it? Unless she was going to do something like, she's the Glamazon, so she was going to be Glamazonian Wonder Woman or something like that, you know, but they just decided better to put her in the squash match, and I am fine with squashes. So Vicky Guerrero came out to the stage to introduce Eric Escobar. She said that today she is Princess Vicky Guerrero. She had a Disney princess type dress on, kind of like a Snow White or Cinderella dress, except it was like brown and yellow, brown and orange. So it kind of looked odd, but too bad this was just for Halloween. If she came out and said she was Princess Vicky, you know, kind of like King Booker, and was wearing a crazy dress every week, I would be totally fine with that. But alas, I fear it is not to be. But she introduced Escobar, came to the ring, and you're pretty much figuring, okay, Escobar is going to beat some little jobber guy next, or, you know, Jamie Noble or someone like that is going to come running out to the ring. Instead, they brought out Matt Hardy. And, you know, Matt Hardy and Eric Escobar wrestled the match. It was fine. Escobar looked pretty good out there. You know, Matt Hardy's a good worker. So Escobar, you know, looked good in this match. He lost clean to Matt Hardy, which, you know, Matt Hardy needs a win. Good for him. I want to say that they have something planned for Matt Hardy beyond Matt Hardy versus Eric Escobar, but I would not be surprised if they do Matt Hardy versus Escobar for a couple weeks. But you just have to wait and see, because they didn't really talk about anything else with Escobar or Matt Hardy. So there you go. The next segment was Rey Mysterio and Batista. Now, when Teddy Long came out and did his opening promo in the ring, he announced that Rey Mysterio and Batista would have a segment tonight, but he said Rey Mysterio and Batista would be having a heart-to-heart tonight. Later on, they said Rey Mysterio's looking for answers from Batista, and he will find them tonight, as they plugged this segment. So in this segment, they said, here comes Rey Mysterio to get some answers from Batista. And I'm thinking, this is the worst build-up to a heel-turn interview segment I have seen in a long time. Because you don't have the general manager come out and say, these two former friends are going to have a heart-to-heart. You say, Mysterio's coming out and he's going to demand to find out what Batista is thinking. He is going to go face to face with his former friend. That's not how they build it. When they were showing the recap of what happened at Bragging Rights, and they had the freeze frame of Batista attacking Mysterio, and they said Mysterio's looking for answers. Mysterio should be demanding answers. This should be Rey Mysterio is demanding to know why his friend turned on him, and he will get his answers tonight. And that's not what they did, so it seemed like a very soft sell on what should be a very strong angle, basically. So I was kind of confused why they were doing that. But anyway, this was a 10-minute segment. It was in a 15-minute window, so 10 minutes, probably 12 minutes, whatever. Mysterio came out, crowd cheered. He basically apologized to Batista, said, I didn't realize this was going to cause a problem, but we got to figure out what's going on here. Batista came out, and the crowd still cheered for him, so it was kind of awkward there, but Batista basically said he didn't want to get into a fight with Rey. He's going to be the bigger man. Rey, just leave, go away, leave me alone, and we won't have to deal with this anymore. And so Rey starts to leave, but then he thinks about it. He goes, no, I'm not leaving. I want some answers. I want to know what's going on. Basically, Mysterio, he said he wants this over with. He doesn't want to be in a long, drag-out fight with him. He doesn't want to be in a feud. He wants to clear the air. People get in fights all the time. It doesn't have to end like this. He wants to find out what's going on and solve the problem. He basically said, we were family. It was you, me, and Eddie running around. And Batista goes, Eddie is dead. And you could hear the crowd just kind of like, wow. Like, they didn't, like, that was kind of a rough thing to kind of throw out there for this feud, bringing up the death of Eddie again. But Batista just basically says, I'm sick of this, I'm tired of it, and I'm just going to do my own thing now. And he jumps out of the ring and leaves. And so the crowd starts to boo, because the crowd is like, now wait a minute, we just watched 10-plus minutes of you guys talking about how you can't get along and how this is going to have to come to a head and how you guys are probably going to have to fight it out, and it ended with no fight. It ended with no exchange. It ended with no, there was no slap across the face. There was no, someone turned around to set the microphone down and gets attacked from behind. Nothing happened. That's the name of this segment. This, the name of this show was actually, Is There Something to Brag About or whatever, talking about bragging rights. This show should have just been called Two Guys Talk and Nothing Happens. Because that was, I think that's the longest segment on the show. No, actually, it looks like Kane versus Jericho may have actually been a longer segment by about, a minute or whatever. But, this was your big segment here that nothing happened. So you see backstage, Matt Hardy, goes up to Batista and he just says, brothers have fights all the time. I should know, you shouldn't let, your relationship with Rey and, like, my relationship with Jeff. You should get to the bottom of this. And Batista just basically says, he doesn't care, gives him this smile, turns, walks out the door. So you see Matt Hardy turn around, pull out his cell phone, start to text somebody. And Batista opens the door, walks back in the room, attacks Matt from behind. And then kind of gives him this look while he's laying on the ground and walks back out the door and leaves. So if it wasn't clear to you that Batista is turning heel, a sneak attack on Matt Hardy for getting in his business, that should tell you that, it's happening. Drew McIntyre came to the ring and cut a promo talking about how he was cut out of their match at Bragging Rights, but that's fine because he didn't want to be there anyway. Crowd starts to boo, yeah, sore loser, whatever, and McIntyre basically says that he wants to make a name for himself his own way, and he's going to do that tonight. So out comes Fit Finlay, and Finlay comes down to the ring, and as he's climbing in the ring, McIntyre hits him with the boot, knocks Finlay to the outside. McIntyre grabs Finlay, throws him back in the ring, beats him up a little bit, and then leaves. So he's made an impact by beating the crap out of Finlay without Finlay being able to fight back. So I see a fun little Scottish-Irish feud going on there. I'm sure it will evolve into a drinking contest at some point, but whatever. They had the Divas Halloween costume contest. This went on way too long. They had everybody dance. Crime Time was hosting and making comments and goofing around with the girls. And they had Mickey James dressed as Elektra. They had Natalia as a bullfighter. They had Michelle McCool as the devil. They had Layla creepily dressed as Michael Jackson. She had her hair in that Michael Jackson, you know, straight style when it was long going down on both sides of his face, and she had the glasses on, and it was creepy. It was disturbing. I think mostly disturbing because she looked a lot like Michael, and yet she looked attractive because it's Layla. So it just kind of, it's one of those segments where you kind of feel weird about yourself. You know what I mean? Maybe it's just me. Maybe you guys are okay with that, but little. Anyway, moving on. They had Scott Armstrong versus CM Punk. CM Punk, of course, came out to his regular opening. Armstrong came out to the SmackDown theme. It's funny because CM Punk just kind of pushes him to a corner and is kind of smacking him around and whatever. And the referee who's in the ring, I think it was Jack Doan. But actually, I don't remember now that I think about it. But he kind of looks at Armstrong and he goes, "You don't have to do this." And Armstrong's like, "Yes, I do." And CM Punk is like, you know, "Come on, hit me, hit me." So Armstrong punches CM Punk a couple times. And CM Punk kind of gets this look on his face like, "What the hell? You're fighting back? You think you can fight me?" And so he just grabs Armstrong, hits him with the go to sleep, and pins him with one foot on his chest. And so, you know, CM Punk has no real feud, but, you know, nice little squash match. It's always kind of awkward when you do something with the referees like this, but I think this one turned out fine. You know, CM Punk looked like the heel he needed to. It didn't over-involve the referee, and it's not turning into some big, you know, he didn't attack the other referee just because the other referee was there, so it's not going to be one of these stupid, you know, "Oh, the referees are rising up and, you know, fighting back." You know, luckily, none of that's going to happen, so I'm fine with that little segment for what it was. They announced that it's going to be Batista versus Matt Hardy next week as your SmackDown main event. I'm sure Mysterio will be ringside or getting involved or whatever, but that's a match that I think I can look forward to, so I'm okay with that there. And then your main event match was Jericho versus Kane to be in the main event at Survivor Series. Amazingly enough, the match is Big Show versus Undertaker, and neither one of those guys were on the show tonight. So don't tune into SmackDown, Pixel Dan, assuming that you're going to see Undertaker, because you're not, even though he's got a pay-per-view match in 3 weeks. I guess they'll do plenty of that next week. But, you know, Halloween episode, Undertaker, seems kind of like a no-brainer, but what are you going to do? The match, I mean, it was kind of sloppy. You know, basically Kane kind of threw around Jericho a little bit. Jericho's just kind of waiting for his opening when he could hit something. Jericho hits Kane with a code breaker, but Kane kicks out because he's so much bigger than Jericho, so that's not going to do it and put him down. So Jericho and Kane wrestle around a little bit more, and they go up for a superplex. Basically, Kane goes up like he's going to do his, you know, clothesline off the top rope or whatever. And Jericho, you know, goes up, punches him, sets him up for a superplex, but Kane fights back, throws Jericho down onto the mat. So Jericho gets up, and Kane jumps off the top rope, and Jericho grabs him and hits him with a code breaker and gets the pin. Except Jericho did not hit him with a code breaker. This was heavily edited. You can see Kane coming down off the top rope and Jericho bringing his legs up. And then it cuts to a different angle and you hear the impact of them hitting, but Kane flying off of Jericho like he just took the hit and falling down and Jericho getting the pin. So the actual moment of impact, they cut out of the show and they hid it by doing a camera change right there. This is one of the things about SmackDown, and this may be one of the reasons why I think SmackDown comes across as a better show, is because they can edit this stuff. It's one of the reasons why Melina looked competent as a wrestler while she was on a show when they could, you know, put her matches in post-production, and why she looks so pathetic back on Raw, is because they must have totally botched this move. But you can see it. It's lost in that camera switch there. But it was a pretty good edit. I mean, the editing guys at WWE are good. But, yeah, they totally lost it. And Jericho gets the 1-2-3. And he is declared your winner. And it's going to be Jericho versus Big Show versus Undertaker at Survivor Series. So, there you go, everybody. That's your SmackDown show for tonight. You know, going back to that Hogan news, like I said, I don't watch TNA a whole lot anymore. I watch their pay-per-views from time to time. You know, most, I'd say 75% of their pay-per-view matches I watch. A lot of shows, of course, I don't watch the whole thing because, you know, you just know it's going to be largely garbage. But, you know, I try to watch as much of their pay-per-views as I can. I don't watch their weekly show. But if Ric Flair shows up on Impact, I don't care if he's in a, you know, 90-second match with Samoa Joe and that's all he's doing for that week, I will watch Impact to watch Ric Flair's return to the ring. But if it's just Hogan, sorry, Scotty Cash, but if it's just Hogan, I'm not that big into it. But because there's the possibility of Ric Flair returning to television, this song that we're ending with tonight, it's one we've heard before, but it's awesome. Ric Flair, I listened to this song, I put it on a loop, and basically listened to it for about a half hour this morning, and it made me so incredibly happy. So this is going to be our music to end with today, but I want to thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to check out the It Figures podcast at That New Toy Smell. We also have coming up this weekend will be the Weigh-In and Fantasy Football Sports Talk, so you guys who are into that, make sure you check that out. But thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll talk to you Tuesday when we take our look at what happened on Monday Night Raw.
My God! I almost forgot the fourth horseman! Ric Flair! Go, go!
It's your boy Ric Flair coming to Winnipeg. Here he is, the world heavyweight. You know,
Wally Carmel, the great wrestling promoter, called me on the phone and said, Nate, that Slick Rick champ, I'm gonna make the price right. Brother, your credentials are unlimited, but you gotta take a long look at yourself before you walk that aisle, because this right now is the toughest piece of work in wrestling today. Not Ricky Martel, not the Road Warriors, not the Freebird, not the Road Warriors, but Ric Flair, woo! The living legend, the world champion.
I can't help that I'm custom made. I can't help, but I'll tell you this. I can't help that I look good, feel good.